What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Mike Branham. Mike is a CFP. He is a shareholder and a senior financial planner at the Planning Center. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. Then we got into some of the challenges that we face when we get laid off. We talked about how you deal with the overwhelm that comes along with that, and foundationally, how it makes a lot of sense, even though it's not easy, to have a financial preparedness plan and to do a financial preparedness assessment before anything bad like that ever happens. But if you find yourself in the situation where you're having to scramble, what are the critical things you need to be thinking about first? What are the ancillary things? What expenses can you cut? What expenses are always going to be there? Making sure that we have a good plan for our cash flow, making sure that we have an understanding of our budget. There's so much that goes into that. And then on top of that, there's a lot that work provides us aside from the benefits and the financials. So it's important to keep those things in consideration or top of mind as well. And of course, we closed with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Mike, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Yeah. So, okay. Number one, I jokingly consider myself a former astronaut because I attended space camp once upon a time. Number two, I started my college years as a natural resources major because I wanted to spend my life in the woods, but greed got the best of me and I switched paths. And number three, I traveled all over the world and used to live in a different warm weather country each winter until I settled down and had a family.
Nice. Well, these are excellent. This is maybe wildly inappropriate, Mike, but I used to sometimes tell girls in bars when I would meet them that I was an astronaut, and then I'd just kind of point up to the sky and say, that's my office. So maybe that's similar shtick. I don't know that it ever worked. Natural resources, and then summer places, traveling all over the world. I don't think that you like the summer at all. I think that that is the lie.
That is the lie. I'm old enough where that didn't even seem like an option for me, but I stole that from my daughter, who at 25 has done that the past several years. So that is the lie. Well done.
Kids these days, they're afraid of cold weather, Mike. Not us, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Not us. All right. Well, I appreciate that. So tell me about Space Camp.
In eighth grade, won an essay contest to go to space camp for a summer, or Space Academy in Huntsville, Alabama. And so I went down there for, I think it was a week to 10 days, and it was a great time. I don't think that I wanted to be an astronaut necessarily, but I was really interested in checking that out. And fortunately, I was given that opportunity. So it was cool.
Yeah, I think anytime you do something for more than 7 days, that makes you an alumnus of whatever organization it is. So
yeah, clearly. Yeah. NASA. I should still be getting pension checks or something from NASA, I think.
Yeah, something anyway. Something. Maybe just an email occasionally. Who knows? All right. And the natural resources.
Yeah. My early college years were at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, and I went up there on a scholarship. Academic scholarship, and decided I wanted to work in the woods. I'd spent a lot of my time and energy outdoors, and realized that although I liked doing that in my off time, it may not have been the best career choice. So I flipped about 180 and went into business and economics and changed schools. And now I'm a financial planner. So
the natural progression that so many of us make from what we were doing before to what we're doing now. So
that's correct. Yeah. Still spend a lot of time outside. I just don't do it for my career.
Yeah. I get it. Nice. Beautiful. Well, what is top of mind for you right now, sir?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about layoffs recently, how they affect real people. They're not discriminatory. They can happen to anybody at any level of any corporation. And we've seen a lot of that in Alaska now, particularly within the oil companies and really across the country as companies pare back and try to reposition for whatever their financial status or goals might be. And so how can I or how can we as planners help our clients prepare for that possibility? Because it can happen to anybody. I wrote an article not long ago about ConocoPhillips had announced that they were going to do some layoffs, and I know some folks that work at Conoco, and so I looked at, okay, if I were to be meeting with somebody at Conoco and this was a possibility, what conversations would we have? And hopefully, quite frankly, we would have had these conversations well before this, because I think the most important thing for people to do is to build financial resilience and to prepare themselves for these eventualities if they, hopefully they never occur, but you don't want to be behind the eight ball if in fact they do. So, things like doing a financial preparedness assessment, right? Like sit down and take a look at your cash flow and figure out, what is mission critical? What do you need to just maintain the household or feed the family or do whatever you need to do on a month-to-month basis? And what might be the areas where if you had to trim, these would be the first to go. Just identify those. You don't have to enact a plan. You just want to know, want to know your numbers and understand your finances. And from there, you start to build those cash reserve levels, right? Like it's important for everybody to have those emergency reserves. The level to which will vary client to client. I think before the pandemic, there was this rule of thumb of 3 to 6 months of cash or emergency reserves. And I think after the pandemic, at least I feel this way. I don't know about other planners. Having more like 6 plus months seems to make more sense because there are a lot of factors, not just layoffs, that could force somebody to tap into those reserves and run a household or maintain a life without employment income for a period of time. And I've seen that with clients in the interim as well, where some clients have been laid off, and in depending on what your position is and the type of job you're trying to replace, I've seen it take 12 to 15 months to do that. And if you're not prepared for that, that can be a pretty scary time. So you've got, kind of this idea of what your finances are, what your cash flow is, you've got your reserves built, and then you kind of take a look at your short and long-term goals and how a loss of income would impact those, whether you're saving money to start a family or saving money to buy or build a house, or you want to go on a big vacation, how would you accelerate or decelerate your progress towards those goals? And then things like, do you have basic needs met during that period of unemployment? How are you going to handle health insurance or coverage gaps? What might be unique to your family from a health history, or, whether people have prescriptions or that type of thing. How are you going to pay for those? That's all part of that cash flow review, but I think sometimes people overlook those things that we all take for granted when we get group health insurance. And we've seen a lot of conversation politically and nationally now about health insurance and how available or not that might be to people. And so, adding that thinking into the planning process or the discussion process, I think is really important. And then obviously on the back end of a layoff, you presumably, unless you're at a point where you're retiring early, have to replace that job. So, is it time for re-education? Do you have to think about a move? What does the job search look like? What are the jobs that you would settle for, and what are the jobs that you really would target as your top, top priorities? And how would you go about doing that? And how do you maintain your personal network and your professional network to maybe aid in that pursuit? So there's a lot in that financial preparedness assessment, I think, that clients can really think about or start to plan for well in advance of any layoff being announced or affecting them.
Well, I think that that's really, 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 really important. And if it's layoffs or whatever, just displacement, who knows what artificial intelligence is going to do? Those are really great thoughts. And I certainly agree that COVID taught me I needed to be stronger mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, all of those things. And it's a good cause to kind of reflect. And I don't know that many people are going to be doing this unless something like a layoff kind of happens. It makes sense, certainly intellectually, that you would do this stuff in advance of that. But it's also kind of overwhelming. I don't even know kind of where to start.
It is, and very few people actually do it in advance. So a lot of people find themselves in reaction mode, And then it's sitting down either by yourself or with a planner. I would encourage everybody to work with a planner. I know not everybody does, but it's great to have an objective third party at the table that can help you walk through all of the options and may even know, some intricacies of what's available or what resources you might be able to tap into in this scenario. But when you're in reactive mode, it's more about, okay, what do I have resource-wise that can get me through this? Are all of my assets in retirement plans, or do I have some non-qualified assets that are available, or even in a pinch, Roth assets where you have access to the principal, the contributions you've made over the years, if you really needed to access those. Not ideal, but also we're in survival mode now, right? To whom do I turn for help? Do I need kind of part-time work to bridge the gap until I find my long-term job solution? There are a number of conversations that have to happen if you're in reaction mode. A lot of clients are couples, right? But they have partners or spouses. And so, there is typically some level of income that's available for the basic needs. But if you're the spouse that carried the health insurance, how quickly can you move over to the spouse's insurance? Or what are the other options you have available? How do you deal with all of these benefits that you once had and now don't, whether it's retirement plans, disability, health insurance, all of those things? There are a lot of conversations to be had at a time when you're probably at one of your peak emotional times, or when the fear factor is the highest. So.
Yeah, definitely scared. And because we get so many of our benefits through work these days, I don't even know that that most people know, wow, I actually get that through work, and I get that through work, and I get that through work, and I don't even know what I would do if I didn't have it. So, and then you factor in those emotions, and it's fear and scary and all those kinds of things that I don't think that. I wonder, do you think that you growing up in a colder climate and living in a colder climate teaches you that you need to be a little bit more prepared?
I mean, in some ways, physically, yeah. I think for the money stuff, I think there's such a lack or a dearth of education on personal finance, either in high school or college. I know there's a number of efforts with a number of groups to make that more prominent. That I don't think, like, I think about my kids, they're fairly spoiled and were insulated growing up. I probably didn't do as good a job as maybe I should have to prepare them for the financial world. And so, I think about them. If they were in a position where they were laid off, how prepared would they be? And what role did I play in not making them think through that stuff maybe more readily? So, I don't know that anybody can, because I think so many people's there's an identity aspect to this too as well, right? Like, we both have careers and we're identified as something. I'm identified as a financial planner, among other things. If I were to lose that job, there's both an ego blow and an emotional aspect of, I thought I was pretty good at this, and clearly my superiors didn't. So what do I do now? And I think people tend to take it personally when more often than not, it's not. It's just business. I was talking to a friend who has a connection to Conoco. And I think what Conoco did, I'm not, this isn't me denigrating Conoco. I'm just telling you anecdotally what I've heard is there are multiple levels of assessments going on within a company like Conoco when layoffs are going to be made. And so they have managers, like middle managers, assess those below them. And so there's a sense of security, I think, in the middle management when they're doing that. Like, oh, we're just looking at this group of people for these layoffs. And I think what was unseen or unknown is that there were also upper levels of managers that were looking at the middle managers below them. So different levels within the company are looking at levels either at or below their quote unquote level to determine where where they can trim that human capital. And then, suddenly you show up one day and you realize, oh my gosh, the very same judgments I was making of positions below me was being made above me on positions like mine. And I think that can play with people's emotions and play with their minds a little bit. And so there's not only the financial aspect of dealing with layoffs, there's also that personal, professional, and emotional conversation that needs to. I don't know that I'm the perfect person for that. There are probably people qualified to have those conversations. I happen to have them from time to time, but it goes far beyond just the financial aspect, I think.
Yeah, work provides us with way more than we realize, to your point. And extremely traumatic experience getting laid off and having to then deal with all this stuff. My mind went to whether it's true or it's not. I perceive that it's a lot harder to get a job when you don't have one, when you're unemployed, versus getting a job or looking for a job or taking on a new job while you're currently employed. And almost it's like the scarlet letter is on you. It says, I'm unemployed right now, which really exacerbates a bad situation, which is probably the definition of exacerbating. But you're already going through all this stuff and in a bad position. And then all of a sudden, it's probably going to be trickier to find a job. It's just more reasons with why you would want to stay ready as opposed to having to get ready.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, I think it's true. At a minimum, it's true that you feel that way, like, oh, it's harder for me because there's a desperation in there, and there's this, I need to do this if I'm not prepared in particular as quickly as possible. So, I think that added pressure can really make people feel like, why aren't they hiring me? It must be because X, Y, and Z. So.
Yeah. So just to give people a little bit of direction, let's just talk about the financial piece of it. We talked about making sure that you understand what expenses or parts of your life are really mission critical and what could be cut out. But is it understanding just really basic stuff like what your cash flow is and making sure that you have a clear budget?
Yeah, people use the word budget. We happen to call it cash flow planning. But yeah, having a good understanding and a regular update on what those needs or what those cash flow profiles are. I think, if you depending on your income levels and how people live their lifestyle, it could vary pretty dramatically. But I think you need to understand where the money comes in from and where it goes out to in order to have like a complete sense of the impact. And people might recognize the name like Marcus Lemonis, right? He used to do all these TV shows, and one of his taglines was "Know your numbers." This is just an offshoot of that, right? Like, understand your financial life, be on top of it and in control of it. It doesn't mean that if you spend a lot, it's good or bad. It just means you have to understand where the money is going and what you're spending towards. If you save a lot, if you spend, so yeah, I think it's more a level of understanding and knowing in a pinch where would I make those cuts that's really important.
Yeah. And, whatever the statistics are, so many of us are living paycheck to paycheck and sort of getting our teeth kicked in by credit card debt. So obviously, if we got laid off and we're in that position, we are in a lot of trouble. So hopefully this conversation is going to be motivating for people who might find themselves in that position, which is fine. I've certainly been there different stages of my life to start moving in the direction of better understanding those elements and then getting my cash on hand or emergency fund up to, 1 month and then 3, then 6, and then figuring out what is the amount that we're really comfortable with as a family.
Yeah, we tend to talk about expenses in our work with clients. We use a program called First Step Cash Management. And so we label the expenses. The first category is static. That's kind of your monthly payments, right? You've got a mortgage or rent, you've got an electricity bill, you've got a gas bill, you've got so on and so forth. Things that you're going to get a bill for every month that you've got to pay. And that's the first level of mission critical, right? Now, there might be some things in there that you could forego, but most of those things have to be paid in order for the lights to stay on and the heat to stay on and your household to run. The second category is what we call our control expenses. You could better categorize those as lifestyle expenses, right? Groceries versus eating out, gas, gym membership, all of the things that we all spend money on that are part of our normal daily life. But we have a little bit more control over if or how we spend within those categories. And then the third category we call dynamic spending, and that's really your goal saving or spending. So, yeah, I put $100 a month towards an auto account that I have so that when my car breaks down, I can pay for it. Or I save $1,000 a month to my cash reserves. Or I'm putting money into a 529 for my kids' education. Those are all goal spending. They're dynamic and they're usually built out of the free cash flow that you have once you've understood the first two, the static and the control. So if clients kind of use it, doesn't really matter what nomenclature you use, but if clients really understand that there are bills that I have to pay, there are lifestyle decisions that I make, but I have to eat, right? So maybe I have to spend less at the grocery store and less eating out and find a way to still feed my family of four or whatever the typical American family is now. And then the goal spending is where that first level of trimming comes, at least for the short time while you're trying to find the job before you move into the other two. So,
I love it. I appreciate that. Well, Mike, you've already given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
we've kind of alluded to it already, is don't wait. Like, understand, like, start this process. And even if you think you're never going to get laid off because you own your own company and you're not going to fire yourself, like, understanding your financial situation and being knowledgeable about how your financial life is working, I think is really important. And in both, just having that knowledge, but also in building that financial resilience that I think we should all have built into our lives.
Well, I think that that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. We want to wait. We're not worried about it. It'll work itself out, but that's just not the case. And things are going to
And it's a good
happen.
time of year. We're heading into New Year's resolutions. If you're going to make a New Year's resolution and keep one this year, make it about your financial life. Get that in order and do some work.
Get that financial preparedness assessment completed. I've considered firing myself before, Mike.
Yeah, I have too. Hopefully my partners haven't.
Like, I don't know if this guy's carrying the water or not, you know? He's maybe you need to right size the organization here. That's awesome. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they connect with you?
I'm pretty quiet on social media, but I do have a LinkedIn profile and I'm on most social platforms. But really, I think probably the best place to connect with me or learn more about me is on our website, www.theplanningcenter.com, or search me out and hit me up on one of the socials. I'd be happy to follow up on anything we talked about today.
It's a very prudent thing being quiet on social media, Mike. It's very, very grown up of you.
Most of it's just I'm not smart enough to figure it all out.
Mike, thank you so much for coming on. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Mike your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to theplanningcenter.com and check out all the great resources. You can find Mike on there, or you can find him on social media. Throw in Mike Branham into your Google machine or your favorite search engine. He'll come up and reach out and get started on that financial preparedness assessment and everything that we've been talking about today, because, to Mike's point, it helps to have another set of eyes and just somebody else to bounce ideas off of, because this stuff is so emotional and it's emotional for all of us. So thanks again, Mike.
Thank you, George. Appreciate you having me on. It was fun.
Finally, friendly reminder, it's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.